Good morning. All right, Matthew, the fifth chapter. We continue our Sunday school series on the Beatitudes, or as I'm calling it, blessed are you. Blessed are you. As we've been learning in this series, these eight statements spoken by the Savior describe what it means to live like a Christian, or you could say to live like Jesus. As we read through them, Jesus is not focused on the outward performance, like going to church or giving or serving. His concern is much deeper as he unfolds what a disciple should look like on the inside. A Christian is someone, as we've seen thus far, who is poor in spirit. In other words, they recognize that apart from Christ, they are spiritually bankrupt. We also saw that someone who recognizes their spiritual bankruptcy sorrows over their condition. So blessed are the poor in spirit. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That brings us to our third beatitude. If you look at verse 5, it says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Now, fathers, we've been looking over the last couple of weeks. These are principles that are pretty countercultural. They display and encourage attitudes that, for the most part, we try to avoid. We'd rather be rich in spirit. We'd rather laugh than mourn. We'd rather defend our rights than be meek or gentle. But Lord, again, I think as we talked about in the introduction, and certainly holds true throughout the series here, Jesus is bringing in a new kingdom, a new way. He's ushering in the kingdom of heaven, of which we are already citizens. But it should impact then how we look at life and how we should look at it differently. So we pray you give us wisdom. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the privilege of possessing it, proclaiming it, Lord, applying it. We'll thank you for it. Amen. Well, the New American Standard says, blessed are the gentle. You perhaps are more familiar, blessed are the meek. Actually, the word is interchangeable, gentle, meek, and even the word humble would apply. In fact, we'll see shortly that in the Old Testament in Greek, the word is translated humble, and some incidents is the same word here that's translated as gentle, or the same word is translated as meek. Now, meek is a strange word to us. Seriously, when is the last time you used that word in a sentence? Have you ever used that word in a sentence? It's a foreign concept. Now, granted, gentle perhaps we are more familiar with and more likely to use, and humble. But as far as the meek, it's just not something that is commonly thought about in our culture. And there's some reasons for that. I think the first thing is that people automatically think of meekness as weakness. If we said that he or she is meek, I think at first we think that they're passive, or they're soft, or they're mild, spineless. But meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. As I said, the word can be translated gentle, humble. I think meekness itself means gentleness of strength. It doesn't say a lack of strength or no strength. It refers to a gentle strength. Go to Matthew 11:29. This verse is significant in the fact that it's the only verse where Jesus really unveils to us his heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That word gentle is the same word as meek. Christ is meek in heart. He's not weak. Okay, first of all, he's God in the flesh. He has all the attributes of God. He's divine, so he has the power of his word. He showed his strength when the seas were raging. He calmed the sea. He showed his courage when he tipped over the money changers, when he stood up to his accusers. I mean, he's not powerless. He's just the opposite. But in his heart, the thing that he wants us to learn, okay, verse 29, is that he has meekness in heart. Again, not weakness. Strength under control. I go to Numbers chapter 12. Now, again, Numbers 12, verse 3, talks about, and we talked, by the way, we talked in the introductory lesson that Christ is clearly using this occasion to demonstrate that he is the new Moses, okay? But you'll see in the Old Testament, the original Moses, verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Again, that word there in the Greek Old Testament is the same word that is translated in the Greek New Testament as meek or gentle. So Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the earth. It's a pretty conclusive statement there. But again, it didn't mean that Moses was the weakest man on all the earth. He stood up to Pharaoh. He commanded the Red Sea to part. He certainly had great strength of character, but yet he was humble with that. He was not weak. He was meek. I think it was Warren Wiersbe years ago. I was studying this, and I think he was the one who used this illustration. Weakness, meekness. Is not weakness. Meekness is like a medicine that can kill you, but if you take it in the right dosage, it can cure you, right? So, you know, medicine uncontrolled can be fatal, but medicine under control can be healing. The wind out of control, right, can knock down a building, uproot trees, send cars through the sky. But when it's controlled, it's a gentle breeze. It's soothing. It's comforting. So he also used the illustration of a horse, of a stallion, that when it's tame, it can be controlled by the rider. But the point is here, all these are powerful in their own selves, but because they are controlled, that's what it is to be meek. Secondly, you are meek when you surrender to God. You are meek when you surrender to God. W.E. Vine, in his dictionary, defines meekness as the temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. The temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. So, described negatively, meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness or self-interest. Go to Psalm 37. Now let me read you Matthew 5:5 again, then we'll look at Psalm 37:11. Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Now if you go to Psalm 37:11, we read, "But the humble will inherit the earth." That's almost, again, in the Greek Old Testament, that's almost identical to the phrase in Matthew 5:5, "The gentle shall inherit the earth." So Psalm 37 here is talking about meekness, and it gives us some, the psalmist gives us some understanding of what it means to be meek or humble. All right, verse 11, "But the humble will inherit the land." So what does he say? Well, look at verse 1 and 2. "Do not fret because of evildoers, do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." Meek people don't worry about what people may do to them. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious towards wrongdoers. Meek people don't worry about what people may do to them. Instead, meek people trust God. Verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness." The end of verse 5, "Trust also in him and he will do it." So meek people trust God. They don't worry about what evil people may do to them. They delight in God. Verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek people commit their way to the Lord. Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it." Meek people are quiet before God. Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Meek people are able to wait patiently for God to work. Verse 7b, "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes." Meek people avoid anger. Verse 8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing." Meek people hope in the Lord. Verse 9, "For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble shall inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." So we are meek, not because we are weak. We are meek because we are trusting in something other than ourselves. We're trusting in God. We're putting our delight in God. We're putting our hope in God. We're committing our way to His will. We wait patiently for Him to work. We don't defend our rights as a first response. We don't get angry. We don't worry what others may think or say. This is what Jesus is saying when he says, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the gentle." Again, going in context, we first recognize our spiritual poverty, that we're poor in spirit. Secondly, we mourn that condition. Thirdly, because we recognize that condition, we are meek. We are more understanding of we don't have what can fix the situation. Only God does. Only God does. Now, I'm not talking about surrender. Okay, in fact, it's just the opposite. You are meek when you don't surrender to your circumstances. Abraham, Genesis 13. Genesis 13:7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, and if to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated each from the other. So here's Abram. Lot, his nephew, their herds are competing for the same pasture land. It's causing conflict. So in meekness, Abraham says, "I'll tell you what, let's split up. I'll let you have whichever parcel you want, to the left or to the right." Lot looks around. The parcel to the east is much better. And he says, "I'll take that one." Now Abraham, he knew Lot wasn't going to take the other one. He knew what he was asking, what he was allowing. He didn't say, "I changed my mind," or, "Well, I was just kidding," or, "Well, I got more men than you do, so you're going to go that way instead." No, he was meek. He was meek. He didn't get offended that Lot chose the better portion. He didn't respond angrily. He left it up to the will of God. Look at 1 Samuel 24. Here's David. "So he said to his men, 'Far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed.'" Now you know this story. David's on the run from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. They're hiding out in a cave, and lo and behold, Saul comes into the cave unprotected. David has every opportunity to kill him. He doesn't kill him. His men think, "David, this is your chance. It's the Lord. He's delivered him into your hand. This is your golden opportunity." He doesn't do it. He says, "I won't touch the Lord's anointed." What he meant by that was, Saul had been picked by God to be king. When God is done with Saul being king, he can remove him. And that's what he said. I will not do this. Saul would have done it. Right? We know that. But David did not do it. We'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, we'll start at verse 21. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Again, this is an example of Christ being meek and humble in spirit. He did not have to take this. It was unjust, it was immoral, and as he said to in the garden, I could have called 10,000 angels. It's a good thing. It's funny. It says there he didn't open his mouth. It's a good thing, because if he wanted to, he could open his mouth and struck them all dead, right? In the garden, when they came to arrest him, they said, are you Jesus? He said, I am. When he said, I am, they all passed out. They all fell down, right? Just by the power of his word. So it ain't that he doesn't have power. It isn't that he doesn't have, that he couldn't have said something. He didn't say something. He didn't say something. I look at James 1:21. Go back to Genesis a little bit. James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains in wickedness, In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So in gentleness, in meekness, one way to respond in meekness is to put the word in our hearts. Okay, receive the word implanted. Turn to the scriptures instead of our immediate response or our human nature. Look at Galatians 5:23. Galatians 5:23, well, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Excuse me. How do we be meek? It's not in many of our natures. It's not often our first response, especially when we feel we're being unjustly treated. What do? According to James, we turn to the Word of God. According to Paul here, we turn to the Holy Spirit. I can be meek because I have indwelling in me the Holy Spirit. I can be meek because I can receive the word implanted in my heart. Again, thinking about Matthew 5 in the progression of the Beatitudes, it flows. I recognize I'm poor in spirit. I'm spiritually bankrupt. I don't have it within my own self. I mourn over that. Therefore, that makes me meek. It doesn't make me weak, because God has given me what I need to respond in gentleness, in meekness, in humility. He's given me the Word of God. He's given me the Holy Spirit. I have the life of Christ within me. I have the one who said, that we saw in Matthew 11:29, I have the indwelling Christ who said, I am meek and lowly of heart. So I have Christ I have the Word, I have the Holy Spirit. Now here's the irony, and we saw it in several of these passages. Your meekness gets what other people try to get the other way. Okay, again, Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." They shall inherit the earth. You know, we've seen it throughout human history, the rise of dictators and potentates and emperors and you know, whatever horrendous world power you can think of, who think that the way to inherit the earth is through brute force. But in the Beatitudes, Jesus says just the opposite. The way to inherit the earth is to be gentle, to be meek. Now again, doesn't mean weak, because sometimes what that would require is to stand up to evil, right? We always got to make the distinction between what I have to consider about a response personally and what I have a family or civic duty to how to respond, okay? So it's not to say, well, let evil run rampant, don't stand up to tyranny. No, that's not what it's saying. But as an individual, I have the right to decide as an individual how I'm going to respond to that individual who's reviling me or mistreating me or falsely accusing me. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That's just not how we think. It's hard to believe. If we know Christ, if you know Christ, you are an heir of everything he has. Now, we get some of it now. We get the rest of it later. Reminds me of a joke I heard once. A man was sitting on the curb and he was crying. And a guy walked up to him and said, "Why are you crying so?" He said, "I just found out that the richest man in the world died." He said, "Well, why are you crying? You're not a relative of his, are you?" And the man said, "No, that's why I'm crying." Well, you may or may not get an inheritance in this life, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. So as Jesus sat on the mountain, on the hillside, the mount, Sermon on the Mount, he spoke truth that is tough to grapple with. Lord, we understand that. Now, we also, though, in context, realize that the crowd of which he spoke it to was much different than us, much different. Many of them probably were literally poor. They had no power. In their society, they had no civil rights, per se. They didn't have a Bill of Rights. They didn't have a constitution. They didn't have a police force that would be looking out for them. Lord, a vastly different crowd. So they took comfort, I think, in these words that Jesus was saying, "You're blessed because of this." Lord, our reaction, I think, is different. We kind of step back from this. We don't. I think they may have kind of ran with open arms to hear this. We're not so sure. Lord, we're not so sure. So, Lord, I would pray that the Word of God, Spirit of Christ, that the Holy Spirit would change our thinking. We've been given a new heart. We're new creations. Lord, I think the takeaway from this, at least, is forgive us when we think we're in control and that we can, from our own effort, solve all of our problems and fix all the wrongs. And Lord, help us to realize that apart from Christ, we are broke. Apart from Christ, we mourn. So God, again, thank you for your word. May it convict us where it needs to and comfort us where it should. I pray. Amen.